Fuck you! Australia! Germany! Africa!
Here we go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Hit me, I'm polarized. It's a minute past the hour. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. It's 420, babies. Yeah, the 20th day of April, 2017. And we're live, and I apologize for the abbreviated program last night, but those are going to happen from time to time. I'm just going to run out of gas. It just seems like that's my new normal, and I apologize for it. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. It's Thorn in the Side Thursday here at The Horn, a little listener-supported independent broadcasting operation running for, yay verily, well over a decade now. If you would like to be part of the real-time multimedia madcap, merry, zany, wacky extravaganza that takes place during the 3 hours the program is live from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, and under present circumstances, I think 8 to 11 New South Wales time, and I'm not sure what time it is across the pond. I haven't looked. The other pond, the smaller pond, the Atlantic pond. Well, anyway, if you'd like to be part of the conversation, jump into the chat room. Just click on chat room at headonradionetwork.com. And you will be greeted immediately and happily, joyously, by the likes of Anatole and Hoghead and Jug of Punch and Lamar of the Silent R and Richard and Will in Chicago, all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, enjoying a beautiful, beautiful 420 in Northern California and being a third stage guild navigator, has, in fact, folded space to become Man Cave. Yes. Like I said, this is a listener-supported broadcast operation, and I'm very, very grateful for the challenges last night that wiped out the previous night's backlog. So all we've got to deal with is $400 in fundraising this evening. That's last night's $200 that we didn't quite get to, and $200 more for this evening. That's one at $400, two at $200, four at $100. 8 at 50, 16 at 25, 32 at 1250, 64 at 6 and a quarter, 128 at $3.13, and we will round up from that half a penny. We will round that half a penny up, and we will put it toward new Q sticks in the new pot passing sticks in the billiard room. Well, I mean, I'm just trying to keep it at what it is. Hoghead in the chat room said, not 420. All right, the fundraising goal for tonight, by God, is 420. I mean, it's pretty close anyway, but yeah, why not? That'd put us $20 into More In Monday. Which would be, no, it wouldn't. It would put us $20 into Friday on the front porch. But anyway, that's what we will try to do. And you know the usual. If you want to help out, we sure can always use brand new subscribers there. Just click the little, and it's not even a subscription, really. It's just, it's a set it and forget it. You kick in $10 a month. It works out to about 6.5 cents per hour of programming. There aren't many other programs like this that are that inexpensive. And you click the little box, and one of these days we'll have 400, and I won't be spending all this time doing this. or as much time. Okay, but we can always use new monthly set it and forget it subscriber friends. On the other hand, if you just want to help out this evening, well, never mind the little box. Just fill out the form, get to the second page, and, you know, it's all about getting to the next screen, and that's where you take care of all your PayPal versus credit cards, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, differences. So it would be very helpful if we knocked out the 420 sooner rather than later. But I got to tell you, I've gotten an idea. You know, for a lot of nights now, I've been sending out exhortations to Mr. Soros. Because if you listen to anybody over there on the right wing, you know that Mr. Soros is a veritable fountain. He is a font of money that just spills endless cash into all things progressive, just to make conservatives, right-wingers, birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, baggers, birchers, booger eaters, and Trumpanzees and Republicans, just to make them unhappy. It doesn't have anything to do with a better society, a just society, a viable civil society. No. It doesn't have anything to do with having functioning democracy where more people could... Oh, hell no. It's just to annoy wingnuts. That's why he does it. And because he hates little baby Jesus. So there I am every night, old Mr. Soros. You've heard it. But I think I've got a better idea. Yes, I do. A much better idea. Much, much better. I want a gig at Fox News. Settle down. I haven't sold out. I mean, we all know what we are. It's just a matter of negotiating the price, right? Now, I want a gig at Fox News. Here's how it's going to work. And this is based on something I read earlier today. Now, if you want to think poorly of me for this, that's okay. But it's a strategy, and I think it could work. I need a job at Fox News. And, of course, everybody who is on air at Fox News has a real live written contract. And the real live written contract has a buyout clause in it, in case they find it necessary for you not to be on the air. And so here's what I plan, based on the news I heard earlier today. I want to get hired at Fox News. I'll even do right wing shit. Okay, I will. I'll get on there and say all that crazy shit that the rest of them say, as long as the checks are clearing. But it's not going to take very long, see? Because I'm going to get there on my first day of work, and I'm going to meet my new staff. And the first thing I'm going to do toward lunchtime is I'm going to take all of my female staff, and we're going to go to lunch at a strip joint. Okay, that's one. Then, when we come back from lunch, before we've even gotten through the revolving doors, I'm going to grab a butt, grab a crotch, grab a booby, and hopefully find a woman of color that I can refer to as brown sugar, get in the elevator, go straight to the top, admit everything to the boss, and get fired, and get a $25 million bailout clause, and come back here, and the horn will be funded forever. Is that brilliant or what? And meanwhile, Fox will have to pay the claims for the butt I grabbed, the crotch I groped, the booby I squeezed, and the lady I called brown sugar. And I'll just have $25 million. And I'll go buy a little island somewhere and build a little blacktop road all around it and get myself my little Porsche Targa 4S. And I'll just drive in circles around, just be happy. And then at, you know, whatever 6 o'clock is, wherever it is I am, I'll come back. I'll go into the studio. We'll have the show prepped. We'll have employees and everything, and we'll do the program. and go to bed, get up the next morning, crank the Porsche up zzz, 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 on my little private racetrack, have a nice, another cup of fucking yogurt, and lather, rinse, repeat. I think it could work. Yes. What do you think? Because, see, that's what's happening. Okay, so we know that, and I don't want to spend a whole bunch of time on this, but we know that Fox has already paid out in excess of $13 million just on the sexual harassment claims themselves. Well, yeah, that's what I said, Jug. Jug a punch in the chat room says, but Bob, don't those abused underlings need some change for their abuse? Well, yeah, Fox will pay them. Just like they paid for all the abuse that Bill O'Reilly's been doing going back to the fucking 1990s. This is just going to be one day. I mean, talk about a revolving door. I think it has a certain logical beauty to it. And it's just got Republican, as Lamar points out, it's just got Republican family values plastered all over it. Mm-hmm. So Fox paid out $13 million or more to cover the sexual abuse, sexual harassment claims of Bill O'Reilly. And now, word has it that they're going to pay him $25 million to go away. Well, okay. Wait a minute. I'll take $12.5 million and I'll never even show up. I admit, I stole the concept from the Marx Brothers, but it's an exchange between Groucho not Harpo, not Gummo, not Zeppo. Groucho says he's hiring an orchestra, and he says which Chico? Thank you, Hoghead. Chico says, quotes him a price and says, "Of course, we get more if we rehearse." And he says, "Yeah, how much if you don't play?" Chico says, "Oh, you can't afford that." So, I mean, okay, I've got one vote of approval. Heather says, yay. Your idea is beautiful. Go for it. Just one day. Opportunity. That's all I'm asking for. Just a chance. Just a chance. Just a chance, Mr. Murdoch. Oh, Killjoy. Asa over there. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Slow down there for a minute, Bob. Have you run this brilliant plan by the Viking warrior princess yet? I didn't think so. I'm pretty sure the Viking warrior princess would be okay. I'm pretty sure Agnes Viking warrior princess would be okay because she knows. I mean, this could work for me. I'm over 50. You know, saying anything more than good morning to, I mean, c- because, see, when you're a guy and you're over 50, there's a certain amount of skeevy that just attaches where young women are concerned. And no, I'm not. No, that's not victim blaming. That's just, you know. No, I mean, it's no. And so, you know, I mean, I think about Steely Dan's Hey 19, which is even more dated now than it was back then, because now the 19 who didn't know who the Queen of Soul was, well, you know, she's like 50 now, and you see what I mean. I'm pretty sure we have a working plan here. Mm-hmm. And I know I can be every bit as annoying as Bill O'Reilly ever was. Now you want to talk about cold though? Did you notice what Bill O'Reilly was doing when he found out he'd been canned? They waited until he was vacationing and shaking hands with the Pope. Do you think maybe Rupert reached out to Pope Frank and said, "Hey, we need you to tell O'Reilly he's fired"? God, wouldn't that have been a beautiful thing? And bless you, my son. Oh, and you're fired at the Fox. Look, let me have my simple pleasures, okay? I mean, it's not like there is a Porsche Targa 4S out in the driveway or anything. But, oh, and they've got this new shade called Miami Blue. Oh, yeah. It's gorgeous. Now, I've always loved the Targa style. The Targa tops leak a little bit, but yeah, whatever. But you've still got that back pillar, so you've got a little more structural rigidity, which means it's a little bit more fun in the turns than just a straight-up ragtop. Just saying. So that's my big idea. I think it could be huge. We've got two subscribers on the 20th of the month. Thanks to Ralphs for jumping in and becoming a third one. That's very, very helpful. Thank you, Ralphs. Because we're into that stretch of the month now where it really begins to kind of dry up. Yeah, okay. Thank you, Jug. That'd work, too. Pleased to meet you, Mr. O'Reilly. Rupert says for me to tell you fired. Me, I'm telling you, you excommunicated. I like it. I mean, I do. I think there's real potential there. But it's Thorn in the Side Thursday. And we've got some catching up to do. We really, really do. We've got some catching up to do with the Alex Jones custody trial. Now, it was getting weird already. Among other things, I told you about him ripping his clothes off during therapy. That was a fun one. Yeah. And then there was the thing where he explained that he couldn't remember certain aspects of his children's lives. Particularly, he couldn't remember what grades his kids were in. And he explained to the former Mrs. Jones, explained to her lawyer, that he couldn't remember it because he had just had a big bowl of chili for lunch And apparently a big bowl of chili down in Travis County, Texas, will make your brains fall off. You've heard that song, Tequila Makes Your Clothes Fall Off. Well, a big bowl of chili makes Alex Jones's brains fall off, so you can't remember what grade your kids are in school. Mm-hmm. Then there's... there's lots and lots of fun inside this case, and the fact that it comes along to us on 420 is a little blessing. It's just a little blessing from the goddess of irony. Mm-hmm. And they are having a whale of a time. And I get the idea maybe that it's standing room only in the courthouse now. It's got to be the hottest ticket this side of SXSW. Big bowl of chili. Have you ever had chili induced Asia? I mean, I've had chili do things to me, but I cannot say that amnesia has ever been, you know, one of them. No. So there's the stripping. There's the big bowl of chili. Then there was that charming father-son moment. Featured on a video in which Alex Jones has his little boy throwing darts at a picture of Hillary Clinton on a dartboard. The judge disallowed the use of this as evidence in the trial. The judge's reasoning being that the video could prejudice any member of the jury who had happened to vote for Clinton. Could prejudice that juror against Alex Jones. Now, how are you going to get a Clinton voter on a jury in Texas, honestly? Then there's the fact that this is a class act, this Alex Jones. Also in his file, a serious, no kidding, not done by somebody on the radio, but done by an actual mental health professional. There's a diagnosis in his file of narcissistic personality disorder. Not syndrome, not traits, but the full-on disorder. But at one point in time, he instructed his kids to start surreptitiously recording their mama so that he could use it against her in the custody battle. Because, see, understand, at the bottom of all of this, Alex Jones doesn't give two shits about his kids. Alex Jones does not want to write the child support checks because they're going to be sizable. Plus, the former Mrs. Jones is already suing him separately for maintenance. That case has been bifurcated away from the custody case. You know, just based on she's entitled to a chunk of the earnings. call it the putting up with Alex Jones tax. So there's all of that. And then today, testifying at trial before the jury, I kid you not, this is all over the news. Jones set out to testify, and at one point in time, the lawyer looked at him and said, does chili affect your memory? We talked about the chili thing. And then said to him, have you had any chili today? And Jones said,
is that supposed to be a serious question?
The lawyer said, yeah, it is, because I want to know if is your memory all right today, Alex? Well, we found out it may not have been the chili. It may have been the marijuanas. Yes, absolutely. Because today, Alex Jones testified that he personally tests, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, marijuana once a year to see how much stronger it's gotten since the last time he tested it. He is monitoring its strength, he says. And I imagine the judge probably had to bang his gavel a couple of times to get the crowd to shut up, quit laughing. Then he probably had to bang the gavel two or three more times, just to get the jury to behave themselves. Really? God, I wonder how many times Alex Jones made sport of the fact that Bill Clinton said he didn't inhale.
I test marijuana once a year to see how much stronger it's getting.
But it doesn't even end there. Because he then explained, I'm not kidding, you might want the hockey puck for this.
George Soros has brain damaged a lot of people.
Yes. George Soros is behind the strengthening of strains of marijuana. Well, that could very well be, Larry. Larry pointing out, Alex's brain is a natural THC detector. All this time. George Soros has Mickle powers. No getting around it. I mean, really, I test come on, Alex. It's 2017. You can say you smoke dope. I mean, there's a poll that just came out recently, a survey or whatever, and apparently it's sort of a groundbreaking thing because, like, for the first time, um, a majority of Americans say, oh, yeah, I smoked a little pot. I've tried it.
I have to test it there to see if George Soros has made it any stronger.
You know who I feel sorry for in that moment? Not the former Mrs. Jones or her lawyer who just kind of nudged her there out of sight under the table, as in, I think we've got this one. But Alex's own pettifogger. Because this is one of those moments where you can almost imagine the scene in the courtroom.
I test marijuana once a year to see how much stronger it's gotten. You know, George Soros has destroyed a lot of people's lives with marijuana.
Your Honor, I object. He's your client, counselor. I don't care. May I approach? Yeah, approach. Other counsel comes up to the... what's the problem, counselor? Judge, can we have a brief recess? I don't see any reason to. Well, I really, really need a recess, Your Honor, please. I need to confer with my client. Because lawyers don't just take cases to lose them. Lawyers take cases to provide a zealous degree of representation to their client. But because we operate in a fundamentally adversarial legal system, they also like to win their cases because it's good for business. And it's bad for business when your client gets on the stand and says, well, you know, George Soros, marijuana, I test it once a year. I mean, that's like two synapses away from Humphrey Bogart in the Caine Mutiny with those two steel balls in his hand going, I caught him. They thought I was crazy, but I caught him. I caught him with the strawberries. Ha! Huh? There's a real watch this space quality about the Jones custody battle. And one gets the feeling it's going to get even more interesting if the former Mrs. Jones wins and then moves on to her portion of the next portion of the trial, the one where she's seeking the great big
InfoWars Alex Jones
money check. Oh, and I do want her to get one. I want her to get a great big whopping golf tournament-sized Alex Jones InfoWars money check. So we've got that going for us on this Thorn in the Side Thursday. Then, however, There's Mike Huckabee. I'm sorry. Pastor, brother, minister, former governor, former presidential campaign, diabetes snake oil cure salesman, Mike Huckabee. And this is, again, a beautiful moment courtesy of the goddess of irony. So Fox News TV Radio Rwanda has to keep, I mean, they can't just go to a test pattern there in the slot where O'Reilly was. So they've got, instead of the O'Reilly Factor, the new name of the program is just The Factor. Now with Les O'Reilly. So last night, Dana Perineal, a former loyal Bushy, was hosting. And her guest was, yes, former governor, former presidential candidate, pastor brother governor, diabetes snake oil cure salesman, Mike Huckabee, who was visited and temporarily possessed by, yes, the goddess of irony. And because they talked about the purpose was to talk about bad favorability ratings of Comrade Kumquat on the broadcast networks. So Huckabee was on familiar turf, insofar as he just, you drop the nickel in and you walk away. It's just typical, defend the Republicans, defend the president, you know, just another day over at Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda. But you get the idea that nothing's ever really going to be normal again over at Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda. Because the goddess of irony took over the mouth of Mike Huckabee to make him say the following.
This report from Newsbusters, it says that the coverage on the network news, the broadcast networks, has been 89% negative. Contrast that with President Obama, and he had, of course, quite a glowing review in those honeymoon months. What are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I think that right now the world's oldest profession is getting a great deal more respect among the American people than the so-called profession of journalism.
Really? A prostitution reference right out of the gate there, Mike? In comparison to journalists? Oh, one of these days, the goddess of irony is going to stop just playing with you and get serious.
Journalism has died in this country. There isn't any. Journalism used to be the objective recitation of what had happened, leaving it to the reader or the viewer to determine what they thought about it. Today, the commentators and the so-called newscasters are giving their opinion to the point that an analysis by Media Research Center found that when they covered Donald Trump's immigration proposal, it was 93% negative. Mm. When they covered his attempt to deal with Obamacare, it was 94% negative. And when they covered the tweet in which he suggested that the Obama administration had surveilled Trump Tower, Dana, it was 99.5% negative.
Could that be? He sounds like he's so surprised. Could that have anything to do at all with the fact that when Geezer discussed us, said, and of course they wiretapped me, the Obama administration, they definitely wiretapped me slow in the driveway. That it was so obviously crazier than a sprayed roach. I mean, what would constitute positive coverage of something like that? Apparently what former presidential candidate, former governor, pastor, brother, governor, diabetes, snake oil, cure salesman Mike Huckabee wants is for people to say, today President Donald Trump used his Twitter account to accuse Barack Obama of personally wiretapping Trump Tower. And we heartily approve of Trump for doing this. Well, that's not the objective reportage of the facts of the day. See, that's the thing. Huckabee wants a world where there's nothing but Fox News, constantly repeating a drumbeat of Republican talking points, birtherism, deatherism, ninetherism, etc., 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 to further brainwash a credulous public. Oh, but mercy sakes alive, we weren't done, and neither was the goddess of irony.
I just want to know, what was that 0.5% that was positive? Because I must have missed that. Everything I heard was utterly negative. You know, there's three things that said you can't do. You can't spit into the wind. You can't climb a ladder leaning toward you or kiss a woman leaning away from you.
Really? Okay. Every last one of us has to sacrifice at least one rubber chicken at midnight tonight. On the factor from which Bill O'Reilly had been just that day fired for a seemingly endless stream of allegations of sexual abuse and sexual harassment, the goddess of irony caused Mike Huckabee to declare, "You can't kiss a woman leaning away from you." Well, I'll bet you Bill O'Reilly was sitting there watching the TV going, "Yeah, but you can try!" A lot! Won't cost you but $13 million! Oh, yeah, I know. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. She can be vicious, but sometimes when she's feeling coquettish, the goddess of irony provides us with some of the most delightful tweaks we're likely ever to see. So there's that. Note coming in from Steve, a member of the fraternity of Steve. Subject line, memory hole. I love the way an argument defying all common sense can be hacked together in a courtroom defense, into a courtroom defense. How does someone, precisely, know that one thing or another has affected one's memory? It's not as though you can actually remember that you forgot to remember something, even when someone is trying to establish a probable association between one sort of memory or another. When was the last time anyone kept a log of their daily set of memory? Kind of like proving a negative. But you gotta love the chili excuse. That's some real Tex-Mex eating. And some real Tex-Mex excusing. I mean, come on. Let's face it. If it was a trial in, say, Massachusetts, nobody'd try the chili defense. Maybe the lobster roll defense. But not the chili. That is some Tex-Mex hustle. Regards, Steve in China. Mm-hmm. I think Michael in Madison has found our bumper for the top of the hour. Thank you, Michael. Yes, one of those. One of those, Ron and Raleigh. He looked up my Porsche Targa 4S. You can have it for a paltry $138,200. All kidding aside, I would hate myself if I spent $138,200 on an automobile. But yes, that car. Clarence asking Bill's departure. Bob, did you get your copy of Killing O'Reilly? Oh, yes. I've got the review copy right here. It's every bit as ahistorical as Killing Kennedy and Killing Lincoln and Killing Patton. And Killing Jesus. Don't forget Killing Jesus. Maybe now that he's out of Fox, he can set up a whole new series of groping historical novels. Groping Martha Washington. Groping Mary Todd Lincoln. Groping Mary! The possibilities are endless. Yeah, Irish Dave, that song is fitting, but I played it two nights ago. It's our only problem there. Yeah, it happens. Let's see. Jack in Shreveport, Chili Defense. The Chili Defense sounds for Alex Jones, but it sounds reasonable to me. He farted and some of his brains blew out. Wait a minute. Yeah, you get a cowbell for that one, Jack. Farted and some, yeah. I like it. Oh, if only we were a well-funded radio network, I'd be broadcasting live from somewhere near that courtroom every night this week. This is bigger than the trial of Fatty Arbuckle. And Marty points out, so Huxterby can't lean forward without falling. No, well, I'd rather see him climb the backward-leaning ladder, but, you know. Skeptic. Marty's face it. If you really had the money to pay that much for a Porsche Targa 4S, an excellent choice, by the way, thank you. Wait till you see it in the Miami blue. I somehow believe it wouldn't bother you as much. Yeah, there's that whole as much part. But, yeah, it's not quite as obscene as maybe buying, a Bugatti. I consider those things wildly overpriced. But that's only because I've never owned a Bugatti. Just popping that Targa top out. And see, the thing is, you don't lose all and there's not much backseat space anyway in a 911, but you don't lose it all to the fold down of the Cabriolet top. You just take out the target top, it folds out, you open the boot, you stick it in, you close it, you're done. It's cool that way. Oh, I didn't mean to do that. Sorry. Oh, and as to, just to make things clear, I hated knocking off a half an hour early last night, but I was really feeling terrible. And I'm not going to make that a habit, but I do need to let y'all know that it can and probably will happen from time to time. It is sort of my new normal. Today's been a lot of fun. I had a doctor's appointment at about 9 this morning. Went in there, talked to the doctor. We talked about my situation. We agreed that there's really not a damn thing to be done until something happens in the way of coverage or winning the lottery or something like that. And I'm down 48 pounds. I'm down 48 pounds. As of this morning, which is kind of, well, if you were trying to, you'd be happy. If you're not, you fret a little bit. It's kind of like that Cosmopolitan article that we talked about where Cosmo promoted cancer as a way to lose 50 pounds without exercising. Well, I've shed 48 without exercising. But the good news is I'm getting a lot less diabetic. I mean, I had, and people who are diabetic know what I'm talking about. I had a crash this afternoon. I got out of the doctor's appointment. I was starving. Got a little bit of yogurt in me. And by about 3:30 this afternoon, I started feeling a little, and checked my blood sugar, and it was 62. And so I immediately began trying to consume things that would raise my blood sugar enough to get me on the air this evening. And I did. But that's creepy as hell. Downright unpleasant, dare I say it. Frightening. Even. And people who deal with diabetes and deal with it under much more frightening circumstances know exactly what I'm talking about, but well, if there's an upside, it is the fact that, I don't know, next time I go for cheap blood work Tuesday, I may not even be diabetic anymore. Which I guess is good. Which means my pancreas is working, which is one of the things they want to, you know, take a chunk out of. Why am I telling you this? Just to let you know that there's a certain amount of weirdness in my existence right now. And from time to time, it, like I said, it will make it'll make for interruptions in the program. I wish it wouldn't, but it probably is gonna. Steve from Georgia says, just don't get one of them damn Porsche Cayennes. I'd never forgive you. Oh, no. No, no, no. Not even a Panamera. Nope. If it does not have the numbers 9, 1, and 1 on them, it is not happening. So you can rest easy. I did not, by the way, for those of you watching in the chat room, I did not deliberately bail out. I got bailed out by the production computer. Again, it's a little bit annoying and a whole lot frustrating, but yeah. Let me see if I can get back in. Can't run this time. We will go to the conversation portion of the program in fairly short order. You know the contact numbers, and I figured out the problem. Lamar was talking last night about getting the answering machine. No. Well, the stress line number is 304-663-4676. That is not the number you were dialing, Lamar. Don't think so. No. So that's what the, so that's the stress line. The other line, 304-574-8178. From anywhere on planet Earth, Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. And you are welcome to you're welcome to join in the conversation, especially if you have a thorn in your side. And of course, this is the day we reserve for those. So we'll see how it plays out. Oh, did you notice that Time Magazine? Time Magazine named Jared Kushner, played to such devastating silent effect by Jimmy Fallon on Saturday Night Live last week. Well, Jared Kushner and Ivanka both made the Time 100. The 100 most influential people of 2017. Here's the fun part. Time reached out to none other than ancient, blood-soaked war criminal and bosom buddy O'Hillary Clinton, Henry Kissinger, for the write-up. You know the phrase, damning with faint praise? That means to appear to be praising someone while at the same time really not being effusive about it, so as to convey the idea that you're not really praising. You've also heard, I come not to praise Caesar, but to bury him. Both of these had to be in the mind of ancient blood-soaked war criminal and pal O'Hillary Clinton, Henry Kissinger, when he wrote the following.
Transitioning the presidency between parties is one of the most complex undertakings in American politics. The change triggers an upheaval in the intangible mechanisms by which Washington runs an incoming president is likely to be less familiar with formal structures, and the greater that gap, the heavier the responsibility of those advisors who are asked to fill it.
So far, the word Jared has not appeared once.
This space has been traversed for nearly 4 months by Jared Kushner, whom I first met about 18 months ago, when he introduced himself after a foreign policy lecture I had given.
Notice Henry doesn't say, whom I met because I wanted to meet him. He foisted himself upon poor Hank.
We have sporadically exchanged views since. As part of the Trump family, Jared is familiar with the intangibles of the president. As a graduate of Harvard und NYU, he has a broad education. As a businessman, a knowledge of the administration. All this should help him make a success of his daunting role flying close to the sun.
Really? Really? Really, Henry? A Daedalus reference? An Icarus reference? A record label that used to put out Led Zeppelin records reference? I mean, I thought that Icarus, the Led Zeppelin Icarus, was just awesome, awesome rock and roll imagery. You know, Daedalus was his daddy, and he was an inventor on Crete, and he worked for Minos, and he invented some wax, some wings, and they were made of wax, and they had feathers attached to them, and his son Icarus was just itching to try him, and he said, well, that's great, but don't fly too close to the sun, son, or the wax will melt, and you'll crash into the sea. But Icarus, well, you know how it is with teenagers. You can't tell them anything. They know everything. So Icarus, flap, 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 flap. And he's flying, and Daedalus is going, son of a bitch, it works. And he keeps saying, don't fly too close to the sun, son. Okay, Dad. Crazy old fuck. He doesn't know anything. God, he's so old. Flap, 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 flap. And eventually the wax in the wings melt, and Icarus does a header into the Mediterranean Sea and, of course, dies.
All this should help him make a success of his daunting role, flying too close to the sun.
That is some endorsement. Not exactly ringing, is it? Well, it didn't take long before some wise ass, this particular wise ass being Jason O. Gilbert, rewrote the endorsement. And I must say, I like Jason O. Gilbert's version of Henry Kissinger much better than Henry's. There is no question that Jared Kushner is a human man who owns at least 3 suits and has probably never stolen a car. I think I saw him give an interview once, and he did not projectile vomit once. Oftentimes I confuse him with Christian Bale. Which one of them starred in The Machinist? Anyway, Jaron has been given an important role in the transition, having been tasked with inventing a time machine so that the president can go back in time and nail Bo Derek in 1983. There are whispers that Zachary Taylor, our first wizard president, hid an enchanted sword somewhere in the Rose Garden, and that President Trump wants to find it so that he can smite Mark Cuban. If anyone can dig a hole and find a sword, it's Jarvis Cashbot.
Whoo!
Beautiful. Jarvis, I think we have a new name. Jarvis Cashbot.
He went to Jared.
So anyway, if you want to get in on the Thorn in the Side Thursday conversation, you are welcome so to do. I heartily invite you. We have $410 to raise this evening, down from $420. Hey, y'all jacked it up. I didn't. Okay, but $410 to go. Knock it down a little bit at a time if we possibly can. Thank you very kindly. Let's see what happens. It's also, by the way, it's also Thursday. And that means we have the Green News Report, courtesy of Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. A highlight, I must say, of my Tuesdays and Thursdays. I hope yours as well. So let's see what Brad and Desi have. In the meantime, courtesy of Michael and Madison, yes, the perfect bumper for this Thorn in the Side Thursday. This is The Horn, listener supported. I'm Bob Kincaid. I love this song.
La 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 la. Yellow-haired girl, Mr. Jones strikes up a conversation with a black-haired flamenco dancer. You know she dances while his father plays guitar. She's suddenly beautiful, and we all want something beautiful. Man, I wish I was beautiful. So come dance the silence down through the morning. Yeah.
It's Thursday, April 20, 2017.
We're bringing renewables in a big way.
Saudi Arabia invests $50 billion in renewable energy projects. Wildfires are getting bigger and more frequent thanks to global warming. The Arctic now has a plastic garbage patch. EPA moves to scuttle more air pollution regulations. Plus,
science, scientists, and evidence-based policymaking are under attack, and people who support science have to take a public stand at this point.
Scientists fight back in the March for Science and the People's Climate March.
All of those fighting scientists and more straight ahead. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Narul, if you have a Trump bumper sticker on your Prius, we get to revoke your driver's license.
You said it, brother. This is your Green News Report.
I'm gonna soak up the sun.
Okay, Desi Doyen, those oil barons of Saudi Arabia seem to have figured out something that the oil barons in the USA have not yet come around to.
Indeed. Saudi Arabia, the world's biggest exporter of crude oil, is getting serious about weaning itself off of oil. This week, it announced it accepted proposals to build 30 solar and wind projects worth $50 billion, with the goal of producing 10% of its electricity from renewables within the next 5 years. The goal, according to Saudi Energy Minister Khalid Al-Fali at a recent energy conference, is to diversify its domestic energy supplies.
We're also driving within this Vision 2030 15-year plan also energy diversification. So we're bringing renewables in a big way.
And, of course, it makes sense. They want to sell all of their oil, and they might as well not burn it at home.
Plus, they certainly have plenty of sunshine.
In the desert, yeah, of course they do. So Saudi Arabia has figured it out, but apparently the U.S. has yet to figure it out.
Well, the Wall Street Journal reported late Wednesday that oil giant ExxonMobil has asked the Treasury Department for an exemption from U.S. sanctions against Russia so it can resume its $500 billion joint venture with state-owned Russian oil company Rosneft to continue offshore oil drilling in the Russian Arctic. That was a deal signed back in 2012 by then Exxon CEO Rex Tillerson, who is now the U.S. Secretary of State.
I wonder if they'll get that exemption.
Speaking of the Arctic, it has a plastic pollution problem now. According to a new study published Wednesday in the journal Science Advances, researchers found tiny pieces of plastic pollution throughout the water, in sea ice, and on the ocean floor. They say that ocean currents are carrying more pollution into the Arctic, but they also say that there are more humans in the Arctic, as declining sea ice opens the region to more shipping and industrial activity.
We really ruin everything, don't we?
Here in the U.S., wildfires are growing larger and more frequent as global warming continues heating up and drying out forests. 9 of the 10 worst fire seasons in the U.S. have all happened since the year 2000. 2015 was the worst wildfire season in U.S. history. Now, researchers at the University of Colorado in a new study warn that to reduce risk, forest management and firefighting must change, like letting some fires burn without intervention. And they say officials should discourage expansion of home building into fire-prone forested areas. The American Lung Association released its annual State of the Air report on Wednesday, estimating that 125 million Americans breathe unhealthy levels of air pollution where they live. So, of course, on the same day, the Trump EPA asked a court of appeals to delay a hearing on rules that would limit the amount of toxic mercury that coal plants can belch into the air. The EPA this week also announced it will reconsider regulations limiting methane, volatile organic compounds, benzene, and other toxic air pollution from new oil and gas facilities.
Because what the world needs is more benzene.
Here in the U.S., scientists and the people who love science are marching to protect and defend science in the Trump era. Two marches modeled after the Women's March, the March for Science on Earth Day, April 22nd, and the People's Climate March on Saturday, April 29th, with hundreds of marches planned in the U.S. and around the world. Eric Davidson, geochemist and president of the American Geophysical Union, said in an interview with Voice of America that there has never been a greater need for scientists to speak up publicly to defend scientific integrity.
I think the day is gone when scientists can stay in their ivory towers and assume that everyone is going to recognize their value.
Finally, in Kentucky, on the heels of a coal museum installing solar panels on its roof to save money, this week a Kentucky coal company announced it's building the state's largest solar farm atop two of its closed mountaintop removal coal mines. Berkeley Energy Group says it's definitely not abandoning coal, but it sees the solar farm as a way to use reclaimed land and bring jobs for unemployed coal workers and clean energy to the area.
And use all of that free sunshine falling from the sky. Just saying. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Don't forget, you can download our reports anytime via Stitcher, TuneIn, or iTunes. Find us, follow us, and share us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
You might as well be walking on the sun. Might as well be walking on the sun. You might as well be walking on the sun. You might
as well be walking on the sun. God, what year was that? I mean, that's like the midnight. I think because I think our oldest, we were going to the beach and listening to that and oh Jesus, what? She was like in middle school, maybe junior high. Wow. Thanks, Darcy. A note from Darcy saying, Counting Crows. I saw these guys last year on my birthday, one of my all-time favorite shows. Thanks for what you do, Bob. Cheers. Thank you, Darcy. Thank you very, very kindly. Thank you, Charlene. We now have only $390 to go in fundraising for the evening, so we can take this out a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. Thank you, Charlene, for Charlene and Ralphs for getting us started. Thank you very, very kindly. Ah, let's see. There's all kinds of stuff. But let's go over and check in with Todd. Hey, Todd.
Bob, how's it going?
You know it's going.
Yeah, I heard your filibuster, and I'm sure everyone's concerned about your health because we have to have that.
Well, you know, I may be dead broadcaster talking, but I'm gonna go skinny. That's
nobody can blame you from last night. I mean,
that's gallows humor, Todd. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, if your head hurts, how are you gonna have earphones on with your head hurting?
They were beginning to feel a little bit like a vice, I got to tell you.
Holy cow! Well, I was trying to find. Let me see. I had it up. Wait a minute. Different browser. The snail mail address. Here it is. For people who do not like to use credit cards, the address to contribute to the horn is 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB, 318 Beckley, West Virginia, 25801.
That's correct. Thank you. I forgot to do that.
I didn't know, but it doesn't hurt.
No.
I guess. And, you know, because everybody doesn't like to use credit cards and things like that. When you got to the point talking about Huckstraby and leaning away from a woman, that was just too much.
Just go sacrifice that rubber chicken. You know, you can just use a little of that, not a lot, just a little bit of that seasoned pecan wood, and just sacrifice that rubber chicken, and you'll be good.
Was he thinking? I mean, what was he thinking about? That's what I want to know.
Well, that was his all shucks, corn pone, shit kicking Southern wisdom. It goes over real good when he uses it in church.
Well, that's like putting magnolia wood on your barbecue. So.
Oh.
Right.
Nobody who's never cut into magnolia and knows that's a smell.
Yeah.
When
I first moved
What, if you've got a saw that can get through that stuff, if you've got some nice thick magnolia, and you season it and everything, and you. I've seen it was years and years and years ago. I saw a handcrafted table down in Atlanta, made out of magnolia planks. And I watched the guy who built it hit it with a 10-pound sledge. Didn't leave a mark.
I don't bother it. It's too oily and sappy and. I let it go.
Stinky.
And stinky. And stinky. Yeah, right. I mean, even the leaves. The leaves don't degrade. They just sit there for a long time. You know, they don't break down like normal leaves.
Right, and they've got it. They are their own canopy. So like all the grass dies. It's just dirt under a magnolia. Right.
Life in the South.
I know.
It's interesting. It's interesting, but okay. You know, I wish these people would stop beating up on Trump because he can't help it. You know.
Wait, you're not going all squishy on me, are you?
No, and I'm not really trying to make a joke. But what happened was. As they say, what had happened was I was listening to Washington Journal this morning.
Oh, Jesus. I tried that a couple of mornings ago, Todd. It did not go well.
You tell me what your experience was. I'm just curious.
Well, first of all, I was surprised to find out that the hosts actually talk back to the callers now.
Mm-hmm.
And ask them questions and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't even necessarily remember what the topicality, immigration, it was something about immigration.
Mm-hmm.
And the host was some silver-haired, silver-tongued devil. And you had... I felt IQ points falling out of my brain like dandruff that you'd, you know, brush off your shoulder off a black sweater, right?
Yes.
It was terrible.
Just before you die, someone will call in who makes sense and kind of understands what's going on, but then, you know, you're already beaten down by that point.
Yeah, oh, you're on the floor. And I mean, how do you do that close to sunrise? I can't drink that early.
But right. See, I can't drink coffee all the time. It just doesn't.
No, I mean the good stuff. The old Panther piss, the Mexican gasoline, the stuff that it takes to get through that. I can't do it at that hour.
Well, you read my mind, what you were talking about, because they get all these complaints. This is exactly why I called, because they get a lot of complaints. I've been watching C-SPAN since the 80s, and they go out of their way in Washington Journal to stay even keeled. You know, they're not trying to take sides. It's, you know, and they want to make it difficult. You don't know what the moderator, have a moderator or people call in if you don't know what we're talking about. So Pedro was working this morning, and the topic was the Iran nuclear deal, and should we stay in it or not? So, you know, you had a lot of middle America folks calling in and saying, why are you giving them, why did Obama give them all that money? So finally one gentleman called in, and he audibly appeared to be an older Caucasian dude. He, you know, you never know, but that's what he sounded like.
He sounded like Richard Pryor doing a white guy.
That nigga crazy. No. He just sounded like a Vietnam vet, like he said he was, right? And he was like, well, he said, because this woman had called right before him, and she was convinced that Obama just gave them all these billions of dollars. And he was like, well, you know, that was their money.
It was their money. Okay, thank you. No, I was on the verge of a fit because it was their money. It's not like we're paying them. We're letting them have their money back.
See, we need a separate 2x4 just for that. You know, I shouldn't do that. No, that's not what I mean. But, you know, figuratively. But what is it? What did he?
So did his head explode?
Well, what happened is that Pedro, it seemed to be getting a lot of complaints. Let me back up a little bit because, every morning I listen to this. Well, almost every morning I listen to this. And what happens is that they get a lot of complaints from mostly Republicans who say they're leaning left. And I'm like, no, they're not. The facts lean left because the left has almost always been right. You know, we have almost, look at history, we've almost always been right. The facts are with us. History's with us. They don't like the facts. They don't like, in other words, the way they do things just doesn't work. And they don't like it. And it's not my fault. It's not your fault. You can't remake the facts. So Pedro, I guess, has been getting so much pressure, and he didn't correct the guy, even though this is a fact. It's not like it's, this is not even debatable. There's nothing to debate. Okay, that was their money. Now, what's debatable, I do not know. Maybe you know. I don't know about the interest. I don't know what happens with the interest. But that was their money.
Well, unless we're into just outright thievery, that's their interest, too.
Well, that's what I would assume also. I mean, an account includes the principal plus the interest. I mean, that's just banking, right?
Unless somebody tells me otherwise.
But, so this, you know, so, and he was really quick. The guy was like, well, you know, that was their money. And people were just going irate, like, no, they're getting that guy. So, but I was
I need a recording of that. Can you do that again? People were getting all irate, going, what? Yeah, okay, thank you.
Sorry. It just comes out.
No, that's what they sound like to me. They just sound like this mosquito whine by your ear. Just,
liberal media. And the thing is, this is our bastion of facts. They go out of their way, because if you can stay in there, if you had the time, they'll have the Heritage Foundation on, Cato Institute. They know I mean, I had some Brookings. You know, these people go out of their way to present the facts. You know, I don't want to get off on a tangent, but when
it's all presented, you know, sedately, nobody's screaming, nobody's hollering.
Right.
Yeah.
And so these people just don't get it. And so Pedro was he could, I, you know, I listen to the radio. I don't watch it. I listen, because when I watch it, it's unnerving when I watch, when I can watch. So, he didn't, even though that's a fact, that's what I'm saying. Now these people have gotten so much pressure that you can't even correct folks when, you know, he should be able to say, okay, well, actually, you know, because if we don't have empirical evidence in the Western world at this point, then we're down the river. We're done.
Well, without that, you're just guessing and hoping for magical solutions. I mean, empiricism is sort of the very beating heart of the entire Western intellectual tradition, isn't it?
I would hope so.
I mean, isn't empiricism where saying, the gods must be unhappy with us? Isn't that where we kind of stopped that?
Right. Exactly. Yes. I mean, that's what I believe. That's what I think. I know you hate that word, but yes, that's where we are. This is what separates us from conjecture and just crazy, you know, crazy stuff. You know, and empiricism is slightly different from being like in physical science, where you can replicate an experiment. But it's not the same, but it's similar. But it's
rational.
Science, but it's rational. You know, it's rational.
It's arguably more valid than intuitive reasoning.
Absolutely. And, you know, so we have a whole group of people, but hopefully they're dinosaurs and they'll just go away, because if we can't agree on what is a fact and what is not.
Oh, Todd, if you think they're just going to die off and we're going to get smarter, you know, hope in one hand, brother, and in the other one, and see which one fills up first. There's been a lot of generations of the United States so far, and it hasn't happened yet. I mean, we go into these fits of retrograde motion. Consider the Scopes monkey trial took place in Dayton, Tennessee in, what, 1922-ish?
Mm-hmm.
And for a little while, we made progress, we made progress, we made progress, we made progress. And now we've got a goddamn creation museum in Kentucky that spawned an ark museum that shows Adam wrestling dinosaurs.
Well, that's stupid.
Well, it's also the generations of stupid didn't die off now, did it?
But
and meanwhile, a guy, meanwhile the and meanwhile the Republican running for the lone seat in Congress from the state of Montana is the guy who gave $300 million to Ken Ham to build his creation museum.
Okay.
I'm not trying to ruin your theory or anything or your hypothesis, but brother, I think it's got a couple of holes in it.
Well, you know what? I mean,
you can't. I mean, what I'm saying here is you can't. Nature will not get you out of this. Only education will. And that's why you've got people like, I mean, that's why you've got Betsy DeVos for education secretary to make sure that we do not educate people out of their goddamn Bronze Age, Dark Ages stupidities.
Yeah. That ought to be against the law. I mean, and let me tell you something. That's a big scam. I don't want to say a huge scam, but you got to be careful. I see there's a lot of desperate parents. I worked at a charter school for a year and a half,
I taught at that particular school. And you got to, people need to remember, focus in on that first term in that title, charter school. That means, like, I read the charter. They can do what the hell they want. It's in the charter. It's like the mission
right.
statement.
Just like a corporate, just like a corporate charter defines the missions and activities of a corporation. Because
exactly.
a charter school is a corporate school.
Yep. And they don't.
I mean, I remember. I remember when that lard ass junkie Limbaugh, he'll call them, you know, government skews, you know, where you send your children to be indoctrinated, you know, fuck you. Since when is teaching people to read liberal indoctrination? Well, it turns out, Todd, that it is. Because
right.
the wet dream of the right wing in this country is an entire nation of illiterates who will simply do what the right wing tells them to do. It was inside that Huckabee clip, too.
It's sad.
It's terrifying.
Yeah, so, you know, and right, and so that's, you know, because come on. We remember when it started, maybe we talked about this before, but when they started to pull nice things out of public schools, like art, civics, local government.
Speech,
like
debate, band, theater.
School, right.
Journalism.
And it may look esoteric, but guess what? That's important, maybe. Because guess what? When you learn theater, guess what? A lot of kids don't understand. You know, they're nervous getting up and doing public speaking, but that becomes very important as you go on in life. Because if you're nervous, you got to be able to speak in front of people. If you move on and get to a certain level, you can't be nervous. Well,
look, once upon a time, we had a sort of semi-enlightened vision of the high school as a microcosm of the community, okay? So the fairly well-funded high school that I went to and graduated from in 1981 in Northwest Alabama, we had a shitty football team. Okay, so that was the shame of the school. But we played some decent hoops. The girls volleyball team was awesome. We had a killer theater department. We had speech, theater, drama, whatever. We had a journalism department that produced a school newspaper every 2 weeks that was the envy of the entire state because we had an awesome journalism teacher, an amazing science department with a science teacher who went on to be, a year, 2 years later, after I left, went on to become the number one science teacher in the United States, according to the American Chemical Society. I mean, you know, foreign languages, you know, we taught civics. Yeah, we taught, like, yeah, me and that mouse in my pocket. You know, I was just another little heathen in the school. But the thing is, it was a microcosm of the community, and you learned about living in community, in dealing in that high school. You had assholes, you had nice people, you had smart people, you had, you know, you had everything the community had.
Sounds like a community, right?
But when you take when you kill off drama, when you kill off speech, when you kill off journalism, when you kill off art, you know what you've done, among other things? You've gotten rid of all the places where the square pegs that don't fit into the round holes gravitate and learn that they too can be meaningful parts of a community.
Mm.
And so instead, they tend toward dysfunction. Because you know what? A poor kid who comes to the school and finds out and learns how to write and reel and or gets a camera put in their hands and stands on the sidelines and takes pictures of the football team getting its ass beat every Friday night, that person realizes that there's a future for them out there and it doesn't and that they can be a part of the larger community. You take that away. You take the speech and the theater away. You take the art and the painting and the sculpture away, and you've just got a kid who doesn't fit in the stuff that's left that's deemed acceptable, and that's freaking criminal, Todd.
You're painting a very gray and bleak picture.
Well, that's what they are now, except, you know, unless you're going to school in a semi-civil, unless you're sending your kid, I mean, we're not going to school, it's too damn late, but unless you're sending your kids to school in a semi-civilized state that is largely, they're becoming mythic. So, you know, if you, and that's by choice, that's by design, because corporate America isn't interested in those people being functional members of society. Corporate America is interested in people who will follow orders, obey the rules, do what they're told, not make waves, and damn sure not think for themselves.
It's sad, because in the city, what happens with those children is that they lose interest in school and they stop going. And then they start hanging out and getting into negative behaviors.
Sure. They they're drawn to dysfunction.
Exactly. And look how many wonderful directors, playwrights, artists, Even good politicians, we have lost because of this. I think it started around 75, 76. You know, it was slow progression, slow. But then when Reagan came in, that, you could forget about it. It's really sad. And see, now we're at the point where, even the private schools aren't offering that, you know, you have to have a lot of resources to get your kid or really involved community. I want to be positive, because that woman's march, I think that's what we have to do. And we cannot rely on the Constitution right now. Because this thing going on with this press, it's in your face. These people say, stop beating up on Trump. Give him a chance. They say, well, we put up with Obama for 8 years. And what they're saying, I mean, this is the way
No, what they're saying is, we tolerated him being black for 8 years. You have to tolerate us destroying the very fabric of the nation.
I was going to not say black, but yes. That's exactly what they're saying. So we need I hear this stuff all the time. And I'm like, dude, did you not see how erudite and corporatist Obama was? I'm like, he didn't do shit for just specifically black. The first thing he did was for women. Little Ledbetter. Wasn't that the first thing that he put his name on?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, you know.
Tell me if I'm wrong, but you're still not getting you're not getting your reparations check yet, are you, Todd?
No. I'm not, and I'll be honest with you. I was not concerned with that until I moved down here, and I queried one of my relatives. I was like, "Wow, you know, this street is all messed up. It's a good thing you guys didn't have to pay any taxes back in the day, because you weren't getting any services." They were like, "Oh no, we pay a lot of taxes." I'm like, "For what?" Well, because we had to. I'm like, "Well, what did you get from it?" Nothing. These streets weren't paved. It was dirt. It was dirt.
Yeah. And see, yeah. since you mentioned South Carolina, I got a story for you.
Please.
Have you heard the name Sherry Few?
Friday night. You know, I had a bad connection. I could not hear. You know, I didn't want to stay on the air, even though I'm on the air now. Yes. Did you see that picture? Her old. Go ahead, Bob. Mm-hmm.
Well, she's running for Congress to replace Mick Mulvaney.
My Congress. My representative.
Your district. And she is...
Wait, let me stop you. This guy wrote me a letter saying I didn't vote for him, so he didn't represent me. His office. I'll put it like that.
Yeah.
So I just want to put it out there.
Yeah, he's a dick. And now he's the budget director. Well, there's two other Republicans also running for that seat, Tommy Pope and Ralph Norman.
Mm-hmm.
And Sherry Few is attacking them both because they supported Nikki Haley taking down that treasonous, blood-soaked, goddamn racist rag, you know, the Confederate battle flag.
You mean my toilet paper?
Exactly. And she said, it's time for people to stand up and stop political correctness. They're starting a war on our history. Now, here's why I brought it up, because there's another quote. CNN interviewed this loon.
Oh, shit.
This neo-Confederate hoop skirt for brains idiot. And she said, this is what we don't need in Congress. Someone who's going to be politically correct, blaming inanimate objects for a tragic homicide. It wasn't the flag nor a gun. It was the deranged and sick young man that got took to Burger King that killed those people. I added the got took to Burger King part. And it was a knee-jerk reaction to pull that flag down. Nikki Haley wanted desperately to be a vice presidential pick, so she wanted the attention of removing the flag from the state house grounds. I'm just trying to demonstrate to voters that these are weak politicians who cave to political correctness. But she wasn't done, because she made clear that she wants to eliminate the Department of Education, Todd. And she's terrible.
Oh,
and she's terrible, terrible worried, to the point of pretty near having the vapors about the liberal indoctrination that takes place in our schools. And in support of that, she said, hockey puck, they have dumbed down the curriculum and they've got political correctness and talk about global warming as if it were a fact. They're teaching young children to be anti-American, pro-Muslim, anti-government. Well, shit, she's the one defending the treason flag. Goddamn, how much more anti-government can you get? An anti-government.
No.
We have taught children over the last several decades that America is a bad place and bad people, and we oppress people. Most of the voters in this district feel the way I do. I'm the bold candidate. These are meaningful issues. That's why I think I've gained a lot of momentum in this race. Pass me my julep.
All right. Okay, Bob. That woman has been in the state paper. It's called the state.
I'm familiar. Right.
Okay. And she's posing with an AR-15 with the flag behind her.
Which flag?
The American flag, but wait a minute. It's not like the flag I saw the fascist guy in front of the other day, which was tattered and had bullet holes in it. I couldn't believe. I don't know what the venue was, but he's out there with that.
I still don't understand. They're so crazy about the Confederacy. I don't know why none of them want to fly the final flag of the Confederacy. You know, the solid white one. Of surrender.
But if you tell those people that they were treasonous, you see, that doesn't sit well.
Well, history doesn't give a good goddamn about their precious feelings. You know?
These people, they flew that flag at the, what was it, Hilton Head? They had a golf tournament here not long ago, just a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, what was that?
And they flew it in Darlington. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I played count the Confederate flags a couple of Labor Days ago at Darlington. And there were this was the Labor Day after the Charleston massacre at Mother Emanuel. And NASCAR had specifically said, we would appreciate it if you would not fly that damn thing. And because it's costing the France family money, damn it, And it didn't matter. The Confederates were out in force, and I must have counted 15 of them on the infield before I got past the halfway mark.
I don't know what to say.
And then there were the little merchandise hawkers out there on the roadway going by, and they sold out of Confederate flags that weekend.
Did you go to the Thunderbird to eat afterward?
No, I didn't know. I didn't know anything about that area, Darlington, Florence, all of that. Ferg and I drove down there, spent the night, watched the race, spent the night, came back. Did have a damn fine bowl of shrimp and grits though.
Sounds good. Well, all I can say is that the secessionist movement has been inspired by this. Ill-educated, tertiary, syphilitic, suffering. Possibly, you know what I'm thinking? I've been thinking about this. He's possibly dyslexic. If you ever work with a dyslexic child, a lot of them who are large like he is will be bullies because they want to divert attention away from academics. That the smaller kids, they'll be introverted a lot of times. But maybe that's his aversion to reading. I don't know, but why America should be outraged if we have an asshole in the office of president. That
now, Todd, you just have to give him a chance. It's like that one woman from New Hampshire said, you know, most presidents get 100 days. I don't think anybody give him a weekend. Well, we've given him several, and he's spent them all in fucking Florida.
Speaking of Florida, and I know people want to talk to you, and I want to say the address again before I hang up. But speaking of Mar-a-Lago, now listen, early on, I've been following David K. Johnson for years because he used to write for The Inquirer, where I'm from, right?
Yeah, no, I'm well familiar. I've met him. He's been he came to Beckley and spoke because Dr. Bill asked him to.
Oh my God, man! I would have brought him a cake. Oh, he's insane. Oh, I love him. He's the shit. So, he's thorough. This guy is thorough.
Well, they don't just give Pulitzer prizes away in Cracker Jack boxes, bags. There's no more boxes.
You remember when Trump was saying early on in the campaign about, well, you know, I tell my people when they go over to Russia, you know, be careful because they have cameras and this and that, blah, 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 just surveillance. Do you remember that?
I do.
Okay. Now, prior to that, there were rumors, like, shortly after Trump purchased Mar-a-Lago. Remember, that's his place. What if he has a?
Yeah, that's his place with his restaurant in it. That's got, God knows how many food safety violations. So you could get who knows what trying to eat there. Yeah.
Well, what if he's like, oh please? First of all, he's getting the big. He puts the G in grift because what's the $200,000 to even enter? Yeah.
Well, it was $100,000 a year, but once he got inaugurated, it went up to two.
Oh, that's evidence. Oh, my God, what a dumbass. That is evidence.
Yeah, but see, okay, he's Donald Trump. Nobody's ever going to touch him. Another restaurant workers group has joined the emoluments lawsuit, too, in D.C.
Good. With the post office building?
Yeah.
Okay. So back to Mar-a-Lago. You know, I wouldn't doubt that he has a whole place rigged up with mics and cameras. Because you got your dignitaries there, and then, you know, people have to stay there. Secret Service has to stay there. And he's so paranoid, he wants to know what people are talking about. And he knows he's been a victim. And if he has anybody with any sense around him, remember, and Giuliani, remember, he has interest in an internet security firm.
Yep.
And, you know, like Kaspersky. Remember, everybody used to use Kaspersky virus protection. But people need to remember, the flip side of that, the people who make virus protection, they're also experts in hacking because it's just the same thing. The code is just reversed. You know, I don't want to say it that simply, but
No, I understand. And Kaspersky is out of Russia.
Russia. So that's just a thought. And I pulled this up right here. So this is, you're listening to Bob Kincaid on the horn, and if you want to send a contribution through the mail before Trump gets rid of our mail and privatizes it, it's Head On Communications at 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, West Virginia, zip code 25801.
Thank you, Todd. Thank you very kindly. Anything going on? Later. Anything going on the smoker this weekend?
Probably so. Yes. Probably same items, maybe. But I will say that pork loins. I'm getting these pork loins that are wonderful, that are farm raised, and little fat on them, and just pure. And they are amazing. Loins, low and slow. You know, this is what we do down here.
Oh yeah.
You know, hopefully,
do you butterfly your pork loin?
You know, I do not. What I do is I marinate it. So I marinate it with something slightly acidic, so it's kind of partially cooked before I cook it. Because you got to be careful with the pork loins.
Yeah, I've soaked a few in a mixture of about half apple cider and half apple cider vinegar, along with various and sundry spices. You know, a little hot pepper, some hot pepper pods, like little japonicas, some allspice, bay leaf, you know, the ginger, that kind of thing. Yeah, you kind of get that Caribbean jerk thing going on.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And when it rains, you know, everybody should have, if you have a stove or even a hot plate, a nice heavy, heavy pot with a tight lid and a thick bottom. And you can actually cook a whole chicken or even a pork on the top of the stove, you know, on a hot plate, on low. Put some foil in the bottom.
Yeah, but you don't get the pecan wood flavor.
Oh, well, you're not going to get that. I mean, we get torrential rains on there. You got to have backup. Like, it looks like it's about to rain right now. But I hope you feel better, and I hope, you know, we got to stay afloat, because the morons, I mean, they had money hand over foot, and it's just, we're not trying to be elitist. It's not our fault we're right. It's not our fault we're correct.
No,
it's not our fault.
And all I need is a contract, and I need to work for Fox for one day, and then I'll be right back home.
Well, and I hope you can get that professor. Just see what's going on with him.
All right. You take care, Todd. Good talking to you.
You too, my friend. Take care.
Bye now. Our buddy Todd calling from South Carolina, Stan. Lots more to talk about. If you want to jump into the conversation, you're more than welcome. I'm going to take a quick break. Hopefully we will get this fundraising goal knocked down from $390 so that I'm not screaming up out of the bottom of a hole and hollering for Lassie tomorrow night on Friday on the front porch. We got $390 to go, a little at a time, however we do it, be just great. Thanks, everybody. This is listener-supported Conversation Radio, 420 on the horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Half a mile from the county fair, and the rain came pouring down. Me and Billy standing there with a silver half a crown. Hands are full of a fishing rod and the tackle on our backs. We just stood there getting wet with our backs against the fence. Oh, the water. Hope it don't rain all day. In a storm lay to my soul. And it's stormed me, and it's stormed me to my soul. Stormed me just like going home. And
sun came up and we were getting dragged. Almost let a pickup truck nearly pass us by. So he jumped right in the driver's van, and he dropped us up the road. Yeah, we looked at the swim, and we jumped right in, not to mention fishing poles. From the mountain stream, yet it stung me to my soul. Saw me just like Chili Road, and it stung me, yet it stung me to my soul. Saw me just like going home, yet it stung.
I just couldn't resist on 420. Yeah, that's Van Morrison, and it stoned me. And it, like I was saying in the chat room, Astral Weeks from 1968 is probably, well, no, it isn't probably. It is one of my Desert Island albums. Just a beautiful thing. And it is, it's right at 8 o'clock, an hour to go in the program. And at this point in time, I'm going to have to, like, threaten to play Pat Boone metal or, turn the page or something if we don't do some, never mind. Let's go talk to Lamar. Hey, Lamar, what's happening, man?
What's up there, dude? Bonjour. I can't speak more than just one language.
Guten Abend, then. Let's make it three.
So, Robinson? Okay.
Yeah, guten Abend.
Dankeschön.
Yeah, bitte schön.
Let's do this. Like Todd was talking about, can I change? I would like to add to my portfolio, other than an angry architect, how about the undercover black militant?
Undercover black militant Lamar with the silent R. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, like, Todd, everything Todd was talking about, I know what he's talking about. Remember I mentioned last night, I hate to call twice in one night. It makes me seem like I'm hogging the show.
You're fine. You're fine. You're fine. We got no, we got no hard and fast rules here, Lamar.
Okay, but let me share this with you, Bob. You can follow with this timeline. The dumbification of Americans started in '73. Rockefeller came up with this idea that we're educating our people too much. I'm sorry, people. I have a speech impediment. But he came up with we're educating our people too much. The Vietnam War is close to me because I damn near went there. I have five cousins who are suffering the effects of Vietnam. Three are dead, two are on the border, okay? I'll leave it at that. My point is this, education is a big deal. Like Todd was talking about earlier, I can justify everything he's talking about. Just give me a time date and I'll give you the time it actually happened. Basically what I'm saying is Fox News is a propaganda organization for the right wing. People don't know it, but Nixon needed support. And Newt Gingrich, the Newt, gave him the love by bringing Murdoch or whoever the hell it is over there, gave him citizenship to where he can bring his propaganda into this area. I need a response from you, Bob.
Well, I think you're onto something because remember before he was appointed to the Supreme Court of the United States, Lewis Powell was just another tool of the American right wing.
Yes.
And in 1972, Lewis Powell authored something. You can look it up online. Lots of people have. And you can read it, and it's called the Powell Memo.
I know about the Powell Memo.
And in the Powell Powell Memo, Lamar, he says that the American right wing, which you know had a lot of business and a lot of money, needed to put its money where its mouth was, and it needed to start funding right wing propaganda. And
correct.
So it's out of that you get the like mushrooms after a spring rain. You get the Cato Institute popping up and the Competitive Enterprise Institute and the American Enterprise Institute and the goddamn Heritage Foundation. And you also get the steady drumbeat of the liberal media, liberal media, liberal media, liberal media. And they begin to build their own mouthpieces. And it culminates in the 1990s with the creation of Fox News.
No, it started earlier before Fox News.
I know, but I said it culminates.
Oh, okay, combinate. Okay, I'll give you that. See, okay, like I told you, I was an educator the other day, last night. Yeah, right. Okay. It's like this. In 1983, I was shipped, I was sent over to the Netherlands with my company, architectural company, who sent me over there. When I came back, hear me not, Bob, I did not renew my passport because I realized the hatred of Americans in the other countries. I'm going to tell you right now, I was sitting in a pub in Amsterdam. Let me rephrase that. The Netherlands. I was sitting in a pub in the Netherlands. Enjoying a steak and potatoes. And the person said, your president, I know his name big time. Don't help me. Mr. Monkey Asshole Reagan has said he wasn't doing shit in the Grenada, in the Contras. And this shit bothered me because after he did that shit, I did not renew my passport, because I realized after seeing people killed, American citizens who do not have anything to do with this being murdered because of American policy, I felt sad. America needs to wake up. And as I stated, I am a black militant. Undercover, yes. But I understand, I can't hate all white people, because in the Civil War, a lot of white people died for a perception that was false to them. I need your response, Bob.
Well, I would, I disagree with you to the extent that I would have run home and renewed my passport lickety split, because you always want to be able to get out when the when the time comes.
More people
in this country, not less, need passports. That's where I am.
Right now, I agree with you 100%. I wish I had renewed my passport. It's like for a 50-year-old man to get a passport due to the right-wing propaganda. Oh, I'm sorry. I would like to state, Fox News is a GOP propaganda station.
Yeah, it's a house organ.
It was. Oh yeah, it was. It was created under Newt Gingrich when Australia kicked Rupert Murdoch. I'm sorry, my speech impediment kicked in.
Don't worry about it.
Rupert Murdoch kicked in. He needed a place to shoot his propaganda. He found the perfect area in the United States. And like I said earlier, the dumbification of American citizens started in 1973. Most people do not understand the dumbification of American people started in 1973. I graduated from high school 76. I was too far up the pipeline. And let's all give the senator or the oligarch, well, the paymaster, Rockefeller, for coming up with this, because he decided during the Vietnam War, which I lost quite, let me say, I lost 7 cousins to the Vietnam War. I was due to go myself. But thank God to Nixon, he called that shit off.
Well, let's also remember that Rockefeller was the author of the War on Drugs.
Well, but see, the thing is, the War on Drugs was specifically aimed at the resistance to the power structure of the oligarch. White people were complaining about fighting, so they came out and said, okay, they're doing heroin. Oh, my speech impediment is really...
You're fine. Heroin tonight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, see, the reason the War on Drugs was invented was because there was no way to directly attack the left, and in particular, people of color. But this was an indirect means of stopping dissent by busting people for drugs and sticking them in prison for eons. And then you can say, well, you know, it's not because of their politics, it's because of their drugs.
No. I'm going to take it a step further. It was censorship. Because those people who were complaining were getting locked up because they were getting locked up behind, oh, you smoked a joint. Oh, you had a weed bust. You had a heroin or a crack. See, here's the thing is this. I was in the Netherlands in 1983. I got my passport to prove it. And even though I voted for Reagan the first time, yes, I voted for that butt cheek. But I was a yuppie at that time. I used to listen to Limbaugh until he proved that he was a total asshole racist. I am still true to the American way. You are American first. You are your political party second. And your religion is up to you. It ain't got nothing to do with the rest of us. When they started going south or north or east, whichever direction you want to go, I lost interest. Like I say, O'Reilly and everybody else, I'm loving it because God is setting this shit correct. Oh, I said shit. I'm sorry. You called me last time.
You can say that here, Lamar.
I know,
okay.
I can say it. I was thought, like last night, I thought I was having a conversation mano-a-mano. I found out last night, later when I replayed, I was on live.
Yeah, this program is live.
Oh, yes, but I wasn't expecting to be live tonight, last night, okay?
Okay, well, sorry about that. I kind of assumed that everybody knows when they call the program, we're live.
I'm a first-time caller. Thank you for the cowbell.
Oh, you're more than welcome. You're more than welcome.
I'm envious of the cowbell because I like the cowbell. I'm trying to send you more cowbells to give yourself, you know? But, you know, on the real, I am a black militant. But I cannot hate white people because there's a lot of white people who died on the perception of freeing Negroes.
That's true.
When you have brothers fighting brothers for a perception of nonfiction, how can I hate you?
Right, and one of the most frustrating things about the current era, Lamar, is when you go around, you know, there were white farm boys marched away from the plow in places like Minnesota and Wisconsin and Iowa, mm-hmm. Michigan, and fought in that war. This is just history. And they're buried in places like Antietam and Shiloh and outside Vicksburg and you know, et cetera. And the saddest thing of all is that their great, 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 great grandsons and granddaughters are running around in Michigan and Wisconsin and Minnesota and Iowa flying the Confederate fucking flag.
Well, you know,
for somebody who knows and loves history, that is heartbreaking to me, because it represents the abandonment of lessons learned and bought in blood.
No, lessons learned and lessons forgotten.
Well, that's the
because
yeah,
I'm
that's
tell
the
you
ultimate.
Right now. Yeah, everybody talks about Jesse James being a criminal and all this, that, and this. Well, think about it. Jesse James only attacked the railroad. And he attacked the railroad because they pissed on his mother and took his farm and left him homeless.
Well, railroads weren't exactly charitable organizations. Yeah, not by a long shot.
Let's not talk about the Pinkertons and how they got involved in the labor movement. Because like I'm like this, I'm part of a labor union. And it tickles me to death. Everybody who don't know dilly squat, I'm going to change my language because I was vulgar last night, but I got to be professional tonight.
Well, okay.
But it's like the Pinkertons, the corporate, I mean, Let me make a long story short. I'd rather have a corporate Democrat than a Republican. Let me explain. The Democratic corporational Democrat will think of the people first, whereas the Republican doesn't give God fart to air about the people. And I'm just saying, let the Horn congregation. I need some help here, Bob. If I can't get the word out, you know, fill it in because I am a Porky Pig recipient. Okay.
Okay.
Oh shoot.
Yeah.
But you know, people, back up. Look at what's going on. it's okay to have your premise and have the love that you think of, but it's not about you. We're all in this together.
That's,
I mean,
yeah.
Go ahead. I mean, there's times when I sit there and I listen to everybody complain in the chat room and everything else. Since I majored in the Evelyn Wood speed reading course, not speedy typing, I have to call in because I can't type fast enough to keep up with the conversation going on. Like Clint Eastwood said in that one movie, a man must know his limitation. I'm there.
Oh, see, that's the process. That's the process of growing up and match and maturing. Lamar is a constant process of learning one's limitations, and God knows it seems like I find a new one every day.
The last
3 months or so, I've learned my limitations. I'm apparently limited now to yogurt and cottage cheese, and believe you me, I ain't happy about it.
I'm gonna tell you like this. I'm behind the blue wall. I'm in California. I'm behind the blue wall. You are an American citizen. I recommend that you do some research in California. Seeing their Sinai Hospital and several other hospitals may have a cure for you. May can help you, but they got to get past the American Corporation Pharmaceutical.
Well, that's the problem. There's lots of places and lots of possibilities, but until I put on it just seems ridiculous to even say that it would even be conceivable until I put on some sort of $150,000 medical bill fundraiser. I'm kind of screwed. I mean, I had a doctor's appointment this morning, and we talked about that, and me and the doc agreed, I'm screwed.
You know what? Even though you feel that you're screwed, I feel that somebody in California will help you solve and save your life.
It would be nice. Agnes, my kids and the grandbabies would all appreciate it, but we're just going to have to see how it plays out. Hey, Lamar, I got other folks on the line, though, man. Let's talk again soon, okay? I'm glad you called back. I really am.
I will call you back, but you know what? Your health is my main concern. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's help in California. Believe me.
Well, I appreciate it. You take care, Lamar.
You too, buddy.
Bye now.
Good night.
You too. Bye. Lamar with the Silent R calling from California. Meanwhile, no Silent R's involved. Let's check in with Trey in Kentucky, Stan. Yo, Trey.
Yes, I'm here. You hear me?
I hear you.
Okay, I got a question. You're in the South. I'm in a Kentucky, Stan. What is the South's obsession with those 4 years of our history of the Civil War?
Oh, you really should have asked that about 6:18 and not 8:18, because that's a 3-hour answer, and it would take the both of us. It's steeped in race, it's steeped in privilege, it's steeped in wealth acquisition and power preservation, and to a certain extent, I agree with both Jim Webb and Joe Bagent. It's also steeped in just plain old-fashioned white Scots Irish cussedness.
that's very true. I mean, like Mississippi stand, it's like red, and all. I think it was in Mississippi, or I don't know where it was, where the guy was ranting and raving about Heritage Day or whatever, and they were.
Oh God, yeah.
And I thought to myself, like, Mississippi, I mean, that's where pine saw was invented. I'd rather them have a pine saw day than have a South Arise Again day or Heritage Day or whatever it is.
Yeah, but see, you got to have one of them Heritage Days ever so often just to because another cornerstone of those 4 years is that from the very beginning, the white oppressors in the South have lived in mortal terror of the people they were oppressing, because they realized that at any point in time, it wouldn't take much for them to rise up and slaughter every last plantation owner, every last slave owner, and just take over.
That's true. And the fact that the Reconstruction efforts went to hell in a handbasket after Lincoln was shot.
Well, it didn't go to hell. It was sent to hell. Remember, yeah, the war ended, and then the insurrection began.
Right. That's true. You live in the South, and you can make it more. I live in Kentucky State, where they try always stay neutral, but I see just as many Confederate flags waving around as I do any other flag.
Well, you know, look, West Virginia entered the Union as a Union state, but it was divided. Right. It was definitely divided.
I just don't. Even Robert E. Lee didn't want that flag at his funeral or a uniform. If I'm correct, that's what I've read.
None of the officers. Look, it took about 15 years. I mean, you can look up online lost origins of the Lost Cause. It didn't happen in April 1865. It didn't even happen in April 1866 or 1870. It's only after Reconstruction is destroyed, and the necessity for the re-oppression of recently freed slaves takes place. It takes place under the banner of the Lost Cause.
Okay.
And that's where all that silly horse shit about the South will rise again. You know why this? You know what birthed the new South, Trey?
What?
I mean, it wasn't a renewed sense of the dignity of the bullshit. It wasn't railroads. It wasn't automobiles or cars or public works projects like dams and electrification. The new South was birthed by air conditioning.
Yes, very true.
Because nobody wanted to live down there. Because it is a hot, shitty, humid, miserable place without air conditioning.
Very true. It is so hot and awful down that way.
Now,
and usually those red states, whether it's Mississippi or those are the ones that get the most in government funds. So when 45 talks about, not the $7 billion he's going to hold back from everybody, he's going to hurt his red state.
Well, yeah. And you know what? They will collectively go, well, you're hurting my state, but hey, and it'll be just like that Saturday Night Live skit, you're my president!
Well, let me add one more question before I go. How long do you think, and let me ask you another question. This whole Russia and all this other BS that we're talking about, even if it's
now careful, don't call. Wait, Trey. Don't call Russia BS, or somebody'll say you done been ponerized by me.
That's right. No. I'm just saying. You hear people say that, but there's too many connections. So my question is: let's say it's all true, everything. Can we get rid of him? Can he get arrested for treason, like in handcuffs, and take him out? That's why I've always wondered.
You mean Trump?
Yeah, like for treason.
No, because treason is mentioned in the same clause of the Constitution as the grounds for impeachment. Treason or high crimes and misdemeanors.
I keep trying to tell people, he's not going to be put in handcuffs and walked out of the White House. That's not happening.
If he is impeached and tried and convicted by the Senate, then he will be removed from office.
Right.
We've never had to do it, so we really don't necessarily know what the mechanism for that would be.
Right. Because I'm with you when it comes to, like you said, the impeachment, especially with the party that's running everything, is not going to ever impeach him. And the only way to do that is to take over the House, and that's in 2018. But, I mean, even for that, that's like you said, Senate, nothing. I don't think the Senate is going to flip at all. But do you think the Democratic Party has a shot at the House?
I think it does.
Yeah.
And it would be meaning, but I mean, okay, this is a slightly separate topic, and I'm not just trying to keep you on the line, but I love a good conversation.
I don't care. I know you got other people to talk to. I'm not that for
it. No, this is a larger topic. You know, when Trump won and they had the House and they had the Senate, all of a sudden it looked like the day of jubilation, that great getting up morning, was on them. Man, they had it all. Right. Now they've really got it all because they got the Supreme Court too. And look what's happening.
Yeah.
Miss Aggrieved White Privilege 2017, Tommy Lauren, is locked in a death struggle with Glenn Beck. Bill O'Reilly's lost his goddamn job. Devin Nunes had to step aside at the House Intel Committee. And now Jason Chaffetz announced yesterday that he's not going to seek re-election. And today, it's pretty much taken as given that the sucker's going to resign before the election even takes place.
You think Chavez has anything with Russia? You think Russia's got anything on him? Is that what's going on with him?
I honest to God don't know, but I think, but I think somebody got something on somebody.
That's true. All right, well, I gotta go, Bob. I gotta get back here to work.
All right, you take care, Trey. Good hearing from you.
Good hearing from you. See you, buddy.
All right, bye now. Our buddy Trey calling from Kentucky Stan. No, I mean if you sort of look at it. For a bunch of people who just won it all, this doesn't quite qualify as going to Disneyland. Kind of makes you wonder what else is going to go down. And I know I didn't even mention the Georgia 6th thing last night. John Ossoff is off to a runoff against, I've seen her described as Martha Coakley with a corn pone accent. Georgia's Republican answer to Martha Coakley. And who knows what will happen in June. The Republicans will probably marshal all their forces, and maybe she'll win 50.1 to 49.9. But it scared the shit out of them. So did Kansas. And there is not even a remote chance of a Democrat winning in that race that I was talking to Todd about in South Carolina. But the fact that you've got Republicans at each other's throats, once again, over the godforsaken Confederate flag, well, it means something. And it's, her name's Karen Handel, in Georgia. And she's a perennial office seeker. Apparently so, too, is Sherry Few in South Carolina. The Jason Chaffetz thing was just weird. We're getting perilously close with these Republicans to the next statement being, I need to spend more time with my family. That usually precedes the conviction. Yeah. Let's see. I may get this backwards, but I've got a note coming in from Robert in Australia. Confederate battle flag. Isn't the Stars and Bars flag actually the Confederate battle flag as against the actual Confederate flag? As I understand it, the Confederate battle flag looked too much like the American flag, so they introduced the bars and stars so the troops wouldn't get confused as to whose side they were on, which means people who fly the Confederate battle flag are flying the wrong flag. Either I've got it backwards or you do, Robert, and that's not a criticism, won it? But no, the stars and bars is actually the flag of the Confederacy, which, yes, does look like an early version of the American flag, whereas the Confederate battle flag is the St. Andrew's cross on a field of bloody red with the stars emblazoned inside the St. Andrew's cross. And the, well, and the St. Andrew's cross is its own thing, and but yeah, the, so the actual stars and bars is the original flag of the Confederacy, whereas the battle flag is the one with that's red that, that you know that you can find made into bikinis in a thrift shop about 10 miles from here. I'm not kidding. I'm really so not kidding. And of course, the stars are strategically placed, too. Almost sneetchy, if you will. Okay, 29 minutes left in the program. Thank you very kindly, Darcy, for jumping in. We are now down to $380 to go. The hell does that mean, Sparky? Bob's Berserko Lounge. It's weird. I don't know. Is everybody celebrating 420 without me? Damn. I hate it when that happens. No, if you want to help finish out the program, we got about 29, 28, 27 minutes left. And you can jump in at 304-663-4676 or 304-574-8178, or from Skype to Skype, from anywhere on the planet, Bob Kincaid Horn. I mean, we got more stuff. Here's a couple of... Oh, look, I guess there's some more economic anxiety down in Florida. Orange County, Florida. The authorities there have opened an investigation because Orange Osceola State Attorney Aramis Ayala made a public statement that her office will no longer seek the death penalty against accused murderers. They'll probably wind up getting her removed from office or something along those lines. She is a woman of color. You know I despise this word. But this, I offer this journalistically because I can't pronounce what an asterisk sounds like. A message was sent to the state attorney's office that read, "Sooner or later, a nigger will be a nigger." Three business cards were in the envelope. The business card said, "You are an honorary member of SPONGE, S-P-O-N-G-E, with periods between the letters, Society for the Prevention of Niggers Getting Everything." Yeah. Then, about a week later, another envelope arrived. It had an index card in it. And on the index card was a noose made out of green twine and taped to the card. By the way, State's Attorney Aramis Ayala is the first black person to be elected state attorney in Florida. When she announced that her office would not pursue the death penalty, and probably, I'm speculating here, because there is such a stunning array of evidence that shows the death penalty is disproportionately applied against people of color. When she made that announcement, the a Seminole County clerk of court went to Facebook and said that, Aramis Ayala should, quote, get the death penalty. Now, this is an officer of the county government, of the court itself, of the court's clerk, said that the state's attorney should get the death penalty, said that she should be tarred and feathered, if not hung from a tree. Governor Rick Scott took her off of a case where she said she would not pursue the death penalty, claiming that she would not fight for justice. Upon being interviewed, Ms. Ayala also noted, I've received several types of derogatory and racist remarks to me personally and professionally. Well, that's because there are a lot of people in Florida who have economic anxiety. And courtesy of Haley in Arkansas, economic anxiety has broken out there as well. Oh, yes. Economic Easter anxiety in Mountain Home, Arkansas, at Hickory Park. A person trying to enjoy a nice afternoon in the park found four plastic Easter eggs, and upon opening them, found a strip of paper that read the following: diversity is code for white genocide. There was another strip of paper in another plastic Easter egg. It read, forcing integration and assimilation between unlike groups of people is genocide, according to the UN's own definition. Deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction, in whole or in part. Forced inclusion isn't an ideal. It's a crime. The publication, the Baxter Bulletin, found another egg, and Mountain Home Police Officer Billy Dearmore opened it up. In it was a package of melted candy, a little plastic dinosaur, and a piece of paper with a website URL on it and the hashtags, Trump is a fake president. The website URL was to a local group, or to a group that posts so-called fake news stories, and also disseminates racist information. Mm-hmm. The diversity is white genocide is also to be seen on a billboard near the community. Police have warned anyone finding another plastic egg at any public location not to eat the candy. Well, how about not taking to heart the message in it too, while we're at it? Damn that economic anxiety. And just because I expect this to happen any minute now, if it hasn't already, the Daily Mail headline reads, Hillary fan Bruce Springsteen releases anti-Trump protest song hitting out at con man and his crooks. So the bottom line is that Bruce Springsteen has released a collaborative recording with Pittsburgh musician Joe Grushewski. The song is called That's What Makes Us Great. Grushewski wrote the song, asked if Bruce would sing on it, and Bruce said, "Damn straight I will." There's a line in the song that says, "And don't you brag to me that you never read a book. I never put my faith in a con man and his crooks." Then the chorus goes, "It's up to me and you. Love can conquer hate. I know this to be true. That's what makes us great." But it's the headline that's gonna create problems. Speaking about Trump, the boss said, "I've felt disgust before, but never the kind of fear that you feel now. It's as simple as the fear of, is someone simply competent enough to do this particular job? Forget about where they are ideologically. Do they simply have the pure competence to be put in the position of such responsibility?" Pointing out that Trump is a manifestation of the worst aspects of American society. But again, that headline, Hillary fan Bruce Springsteen, and somebody gets on Twitter and calls Bruce Springsteen an establishment shill, dude, in 3, 2, 1. Yeah. Oh, thank you, Sparky. I will enjoy Bob's Berserko Lounge immediately following the program. Sounds like fun. I'm going to have to see if I can find the song. Establishment Shill. Oh, I kind of wish Ron in the presumably thawing north was around this evening. We could have a fun conversation about this. Apparently, the Clementine Caligula has decided he wants to start a trade war with Canada. He signed an executive order, a memo, about investigating foreign steel dumping in the United States, which Canada is not a, I don't think they're a problem in that regard. But having signed the memo with his memo signing crayon, and I don't know if this was before or after he had Ted Nugent, Sarah Palin, and Kid Rock to come and visit him in the Oval Office. No shit, that really happened. He decided to do a little ad lib. And he said, "I wasn't going to do this, but it's a disgrace what Canada has done to the dairy industry in the United States. The fact is, NAFTA, whether it's Mexico or Canada, is a disaster for our country. It's a disaster. It's a trading disaster. What happened to our dairy farmers in Wisconsin and New York State? We're not going to let it happen. We can't let Canada or anybody else take advantage and do what they do to our workers and our farmers. We're going to have to get to the negotiating table with Canada very, very quickly. It's horrible, horrible." Yeah. Well, what's the big to-do? Okay, here it is. So, the Canadian government changed its dairy pricing policies. And as a result of that, about 75 dairy farmers in Wisconsin took it on the chin. And because of the policies which become effective on May 1st, the milk buyer dropped the 75 Wisconsin dairy farmers because of the price changes. And the 75 dairy farmers say that they will be forced out of business. So a sovereign nation is not allowed to maintain its own pricing structures? That's going to come as a real surprise for all the people that get farm welfare in this country. But steel was the real issue of the day. And after spending an entire campaign running around pissing and moaning about China dumping steel in the United States, suddenly the tangerine Tiberius perked up and said, "This has nothing to do with China, the dumping problem, it's a worldwide problem. And we'll have a report on it really soon." Meanwhile, we don't have much of a steel industry anymore in this country. The World Steel Association says American-made steel made up about 20% of global steel production once upon a time, but it's less than 5% as of 2015. On the other hand, China makes up less than 3% of U.S. steel imports. Yeah. So, standing there in the room with the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini was Jaron Cashbot, Racist Bannon, Rince Your Priebus, and Stephen, somebody give this guy a swirly Miller. And gathered together with them. Just a quick diversion. You remember when we came up with the hashtag no collaboration? And we said, you know, we mean it. Well, guess who else was there? Guess who got handed a spiffy new memo signing crayon by his orangeness? Why, yes, Leo Gerard, president of the Steelworkers Union, went running up to D.C. when Trump snapped his fingers and said, "Froggy," and Leo Gerard said, "How high, boss?" No collaboration. Because, see, Donald Trump isn't going to do a goddamn thing about steel manufacturing problems in the United States because he can't. How do you reckon his capitalist buddies are going to feel if he imposes a tariff on imported steel? Oh, I think the old Trump phone's going to ring-y-dingy a little bit, don't you? Donnie, what are you doing to me here? You're killing me. You can't impose tariffs on imported steel. We don't have enough steel mills in the United States to make the steel we need. And besides, all the metallurgical coal from all those blown-up mountains in Appalachia is going overseas. We're not using it here, Donnie. But nonetheless, Leo Gerard was there, smiling and collaborating, even though Donald J. Trump despises the ground he walks on, the air he breathes, and the space that he, a union man, a union member, a union officer, occupies on this very planet. That's okay. Leo can go and bow and scrape and waller on the ground and wait to get his belly rubbed. Maybe Donnie gave him a MAGA hat on the way out the door. Jesus, I hate to see craven behavior. Get out and be part of the resistance, Leo. You're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem, buddy. Yeah, I'll probably get hate mail over that, too. But I'm sorry. If you lie down with dogs, you get up with parvo or fleas. Why is it so hard to understand? I don't know. Maybe somebody who knows a lot more about these issues than I do, somebody like Rick Smith, maybe he can set me straight. I support unions. I believe organized labor is the surest and most effective way to maintain a vibrant middle class. It's also a great way to educate people as to where their bread is buttered. But I've come to be suspicious of the motives of the union leadership once they become part of the ownership class, once they make their first million. Maybe I'm wrong. So, I mean, we make less than 5% of the world's steel. Really, construction projects, oh, those pipelines he loves so much, how are those going to be built without foreign steel? You know, that stupid fucker wants people to buy American and hire American. But you know what? Little kids making 2 or 3 cents a day are still sewing silk ties in China and putting his nasty-ass name on them and sending them back over here to be sold to the chumps at $75 a pop. It's an analog of the right-wing broadcast Fox News O'Reilly thing. I had a note earlier today from our buddy Reverbo, the human boy. And he said, let me understand this. Sexual harassment allegations are not compatible with my advertiser's dollars, but right-wing hate speech is? Precisely. So while we bask in the warm glow of a little smidgen of schadenfreude over the $25 million demise of Bill O'Reilly, as Sam tells Rick in Casablanca as he pops another bottle of champagne, it's going to take the sting out of being occupied now, isn't it? $25 million take the sting out all that firing now, won't it? Don't sit around waiting for Bill O to file a wrongful termination suit against Fox. And you know what? They can broadcast all the filth, all the hate, all the xenophobia, all the misogyny, all the homophobia, all the racism they want to. And their advertisers, Mercedes-Benz, will be right there. Your Mercedes-Benz was one of the first ones to bail out on O'Reilly because, well, you know, Mercedes, that doesn't That does, his allegations of his tawdry behavior are not what Mercedes-Benz stands for in their corporate culture. On the other hand, however, you know, if they want to sit there on Fox and call, say, Senator Elizabeth Warren an Indian princess, that won't bother Mercedes-Benz a damn bit. So that's pretty much it for Thorn in the Side Thursday. I'll let you know if I get my big contract over at Fox. Don't worry, I'll only be gone for a day or so. Right. No. In the meantime, if the overnight gang could help us raise $380 so that we don't have a $580 fundraising hole tomorrow evening, that'd be awesome. That'd be great. And not just I, but the whole community would appreciate it. It's only 38 people at $10. There's a lot more than 38 people listening. But, you know, if everybody waits around for somebody else to do it, it won't get done. So, thanks, everybody. Thank you so very much for spending your precious finite time participating however you choose to do in this little ongoing conversation. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky. Hey, Lottie. Thank you to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. Thank you to each and every one of you who, whether subscriber or contributor during the program or overnight, remember the overnight team, whatever. Thank you to all of you who keep this program on the air. It would not happen without you. And so, with that, I will say, always, 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 Gina. It's all for you. Good night, everybody. Friday on the front porch tomorrow.